Well, I can't believe our show is just about over in the sense of we only got half an hour and we're finished again. But every person that comes on this show brings an element of surprise, an element of journey, an element of a story. And we're really delighted to have in our final half hour of Spotlight with myself and Darren, Frank DeMassey, the owner of local post office business and also a Hillshire councillor. Frank, thanks for joining us, particularly at this busy time of the year for you.
Thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure being here. And, had I known, I would have brought some props with me. So I've got no stakes or anything.
Well, that's true. But look, there's so much we can talk about. Your role as a councillor, your role as a businessman. And we will talk about that over the next 20 minutes or so. But yesterday was a very, very important day. And both Darren and I live in the moment because yesterday, I think 10 or 20 of your family went to a very special event in Canberra. Can you tell our listeners about that? Because it's an amazing story.
Absolutely. Jim, I'm actually in awe of what happened yesterday, and it was a long time coming. It's a story about my father. My father was a served in World War II for the Italian Army. On the 3rd of January 1941, he and a number of other Italian soldiers were captured by the Australian 6th Division. So there was 36,000 Italians who got captured. There was a battle, and there was a lot of, I think there's 1,700 people who got killed in that battle. My father spent the whole of World War II in a prison war camp. But where the story gets interesting is that...
Sorry, just to put that in context, that's, what, nearly 4 or 5 years?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think we need to understand that people brush over that when you say that. I mean, you know the story well, but just imagine, listeners, 4 to 5 years in a concentration camp, in a camp that's, you know, that part of the world. And while we can look at it and say it should never happen, the problem is it did happen and it was contextual.
Yes.
4 to 5 years in that prison.
Yeah, he was in he was actually it was the Battle of Bardia where he fought, and he was captured by the Australians and mm-hmm. handed over to the English, and he spent the whole of World War II in the prisoner of war camp in Bangalore in India.
Mm.
And just growing up, we never spoke about the war, and it was always taboo. However, you know, when he immigrated here to Australia, one of the things he did was he got involved in the community, as I have. That's a trait I've learnt from him.
And we thank you for that, and we'll talk about that later too. Just a big thank you from Darren and I in Spotlight. Yeah,
thank you. But their dad joined the RSL Club, and as a little boy, I used to watch my dad, and he used to march every Anzac Day. He'd march in the local Anzac Day parade in Mortlake RSL, which is where we lived, where we came from, and he went to every dawn service. But, you know, it just didn't dawn on me he was the only one marching, had his best suit on, without any medals. And I tried to right that wrong, and I've been chasing for years his recognition of him serving in the war. And by chance, I happened to meet the Italian consulate here in Sydney at a function, and then the wheels got in motion, and we finally got his... his war service recognised, and his medals presented yesterday. So the whole of my family went down to Parliament House in Canberra. And it was actually hosted by the Honourable Alex Hawke, MP, who's the Assistant Minister for Defence and Minister for International Development and the Pacific. He hosted us at Parliament House, and we had the defence attaché from the Italian embassy come and present us with the medal. So
let's just freeze that moment. How did you feel when they called out your father's name and those medals symbolically representing your dad? How did you feel at that moment? Was that tell us that.
Look, one, I felt quite humbled, And I also felt quite sad as well, because I wish he'd been there to receive them himself. But it was just such an honour, and it was such a relief to finally have his war service recognised.
And Frank, I'm just saying this to you as a mate. You're a good mate. I bet you looked at those medals and saw your father there. You know, in the sense you looked at those medals in your hand and thought of your father, because I know how much you love your father.
Oh, absolutely. Look, and I'll be wearing those medals in his honour on Anzac Day, which was something which was missed, which he never got the opportunity to do, but I'll be doing that this Anzac Day coming. So I'll be wearing his medal, and there's also a special hat because he was in a special battalion called the Bastiglieri, and the hat, the uniform he wore was quite colourful with a hat with the feathers coming out of it. So it's a great honour. And I just wanted to add one other thing. That is a friend of mine who I went to school with read my story, and which I released about a year ago, and he said, "Oh, my father was in World War II, and he was in the Australian 6th Division. So his father actually represented the Australia, and his father was one of the soldiers in the Australian 6th Division who captured my father. And what's quite ironic is that both of these men, one man came back to Australia to live, the other one immigrated to Australia. Both of them had boys, both of them exactly the same age, and both of them end up in the same class at school together."
That's an amazing story. On behalf of Darren and us, and myself and Spotlight, we want to say thank you to you, your family, for the persistence and the commitment you give to the values that we all hold. Frank, we're very grateful that you do that. We're going to go for a little break, and then we're going to come back and find out about the businessman and the philanthropist who does so much for people in and around Western Sydney and the hills.
Alive 90.5.
It's 18 minutes to 12, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
It's really great to have Frank Demasi, an amazing person, a businessman, a great family man, and a great leader in our community as a councillor. Frank, we've been talking a bit about the wonderful experience and moments that you had yesterday. Let's just turn to Australia Post. Busy times at the moment?
Absolutely, Jim. We've got
you've got two very important stores.
We've got two outlets. We've got one at Stanhope Gardens and one in Kellyville. Both stores are actually pumping at the moment because everyone's getting in early to post for Christmas, and it's been a very different year this year because of COVID, and because people are unable to travel, people are posting, and we've had a lot of restrictions put on us because of COVID. As you'd imagine, flights overseas are non-existent now, and we still have to get mail across to foreign countries, and so with we've got restricted services, and we're getting people are actually the message got out to tis the season to be early, and we're getting people to post early, particularly for overseas locations. And
yes, Frank, that was going to be my question. Yeah. Are the deadlines different? Are they weeks different this year?
Absolutely. Technically, the for overseas, we ask that to be happening before December. And so just to ensure that loved ones get their gifts on time.
So does anyone have a last-minute chance from today for overseas?
I think that there's still a small window opportunity for overseas, but domestically, if you've got a loved one somewhere within Australia, just come in early. But then, and we are literally working across around the clock because at our outlets, we've actually extended our trading hours, which we do every year. So when we first went into business, we tried to do something different to be the exception to the rule. So from the last week in November right through to Christmas Eve, our Stanhope Garden store opens 7 days a week. So we open earlier each morning, we close later each evening, and open on Thursday evening, all day Saturday, all day Sunday.
So that's fantastic.
It is fantastic, and you stand out differently from other outlets, and I know you have a great team down there at Kellyville and Stanhope Gardens. Often see you posting on Facebook and social media, and everyone's got a smile on their face, and everyone's happy to help the customers. So what is your opening hour? So how early do you open for someone to get in, say, before work?
We open at 8:30 every morning.
Yep.
So 8:30 every morning, Monday to Friday.
And after hours?
Including Sunday, we're open at 8:30. Sunday's 10 to 4, of course. After hours, we're open until 5:30 each evening, and our stand-up garden store is open until 7 p.m. on a Thursday evening.
7 p.m. on a Thursday evening. It's a time to catch up tomorrow night, maybe, if you want to catch that last post to wherever it is. As Frank's saying, get in or you might miss out.
Yeah. And we have got a great team. And basically, we go to great lengths to look after our team. And look, one of the, I've got a simple philosophy for business with my team is that they've got to come to work and have fun.
Mm.
They've got to enjoy what they do, look after the customer, have fun with the customer, have fun amongst themselves.
Well, have you got two positions? Because Darren and I'd like to come there, if you're having fun and being happy. Now, you know that. You can feel the culture and you can feel it. Darren and I talk about this all the time when we go to places. You can feel if it's up or down. It's pretty simple. So, and that comes from you. So congratulations. Let me ask you this. Many people writing to Santa at the moment, now the COVID restrictions have been lifted for Santa to come to Australia.
Yeah, and even Santa was on the timeline. So if we letters to Santa, I think that's already closed this year.
Listeners, did you hear that? Mm.
Well, maybe we can get Santa on our special show on Christmas Eve.
Good point, Dan.
And we'll have a few people answer. We'll have him in studio. Why not? Yeah, we can make that happen.
We can
if anyone,
that.
We can make that happen.
Well, I'll send him an email.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I'll text him or that. Frank, do you have a rough idea? Sorry, a question without notice, but how many parcels and things that will move through your organisations?
Very good question. I know, I can tell you that this is our peak period.
Yes.
The volumes are absolutely huge, bigger than any other time we've ever seen. We've got people working around the clock in our mail processing facilities. And what has happened this year with COVID has been absolutely extraordinary. So I recently attended an e-commerce summit, which was hosted by Australia Post, and basically what they expected for e-commerce in 5 years has actually, with COVID, has already happened. People are buying online more and more, and that is to stay. And you'll find that what I found was quite amazing is that some of the actual retailers themselves who are in shopping centres are changing the way they do business.
Yes.
Because of the shutdown, they were forced to go online and trade online, and a lot of them are now adopting that as a permanent feature. So, and some of them are actually looking at the whether they have a shopfront presence because of the overheads, whether it's still worthwhile them doing that opposed to being online.
And that's music to both Darren and myself's ears, because we love business models. How do you respond? How do you lead? And all of those things. We're nearly coming to an end, Frank. We've got Frank Demasi, our friend. Frank Demasi, the family that's very well regarded and highly regarded in your own family and the wider family. We've talked about the businessman. Councillor Frank Demasi, how have you enjoyed the year? I remember when we spoke about you taking on this important role, you've grabbed it with both hands. How you feel about doing the role that you are serving?
I love serving the community.
Yeah, you do.
We spoke about my father earlier, and that's my father was community, and he was well known in the local community, mm-hmm. And everyone loved him, if I could be a tenth of what he is, I'd be doing a great job. But he was absolutely amazing. But as far as being on council, look, I absolutely love working with the community. My goal has always been to add value.
Mm.
Yeah, if I can add value, if I can create impact in someone's life, I know I'm doing a great job.
And you certainly do that. One of your greatest achievements, professional, personal achievements in the hills, in the sense it's given you great satisfaction?
Oh, look, this year probably has been it. And it's basically for the community is the new redevelopment of the Waves complex, aquatic centre. And I was quite involved in that with other councillors and the mayor, and it's going to be a great piece of infrastructure being built in here in the hills. We had a swimming pool which was 53 years old. It was the use by date was well overdue, had no disabled access, and when I went through there and inspected the place, to me it was quite embarrassing that we've got this in our in our shire. But what we're getting in return is something which is going to be absolutely amazing, and I'm really looking forward to it being completed. It is on the works are progressing, and everything is on the great on time.
So. And both Joan and I have been looking at the progress of Waves, and we're going to have people back to tell us further on the story. Frank, thank you for joining us this morning. Your friendship means a lot to Darren and I and to Spotlight. We thank you for the work. You employ local people. You do an amazing job on the front foot of leading, trying to build a better community for the people you serve. Thanks for being with us today, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Jim and Darren. It was a pleasure for me being here, so
and
thank you.
Thank you, Frank. And just before we finish up,
sure,
because I know it's just about time to wrap up the show this morning, we did have the brain teaser.
I asked Frank because he's got an economics degree and he's a very smart man.
A boy is walking down the road with a doctor. While the boy is the doctor's son, the doctor is not the boy's father. Then who is the doctor? It's a bit of perspective here, how you think about it.
Yeah,
often we think about a doctor man. Doctor woman, his mother.
Oh, the doctor is the boy's
mother.
We're
right out of time. Rage on Radio, up next.